was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. We've got a pesky low-pressure system which has made it cool and gray, but it's slowly moving off into the Atlantic. But the problem is it's in no hurry. In fact, later in the week, it's going to retrograde and meander off the southeast coast, bringing rain to Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas. But things should brighten up and warm up slowly in the northeast from the lower 50s to the lower 80s by next weekend. Meanwhile, the spring's first heat wave will set up in the southern plains and move northward this week. Look for over 100 degrees in South Texas. In fact, Chicago will see close to 90 degrees on Tuesday. Kansas City, close to 100. Omaha, Nebraska, 93. Oklahoma City, 96. Tomorrow, Dallas, 95 as well. And Memphis, Tennessee, in the lower 90s. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our first Florida story, we're going to go off the coast of Miami, where the Coast Guard came across a capsized boat with one survivor. He says there was originally 31 people on the boat. They were going from the Bimini Islands in the Bahamas towards Miami, trying to escape the third world and make it to the greatest nation the world has ever known, America. And I don't bring you these stories often, but I want you to know they're happening every week. In fact, two of them happened this week. There was another oversized boat that had pushed off from the Bimini Islands and trying to make it just to Florida. And this is mainly people that are trying to escape from Haiti and Cuba and a couple other guys that are trying to smuggle themselves out of Latin America from wherever. And so I think it's good to remind you every once in a while that this is happening all day, every day in Florida. People are pushing off from these islands in the Caribbean with their fingers crossed and the hope among hopes that the thing that we view as a strange, literal, weird mutant state that's just sort of dangling off the front end of the American continent is other people's wildest hopes and dreams, and they're risking their lives and the lives of their families and their children with the hopes that this little rickety boat is going to push off from some island in the middle of the Caribbean to make it to Florida. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to go to Polk County. We're on Lake Stella. A father and a son decided they were going to take Monday off and go fishing. So Monday afternoon, spending some quality family time, just a father and a son on a little boat on a serene lake, the most beautiful setting, enjoying some quality time. About an hour into the fishing trip, the son hooks something, and he's trying to reel it in, and it's heavy. And when he gets there, the father looks over. "What'd you get, son?" "Here it is, Dad. I got a 40-year-old human carcass." The body had appeared to be in the water for about 1, maybe 2 days tops. The medical examiner reported no signs of trauma, no eyewitnesses, no idea what happened. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's 10 minutes past 10. This is Sterling on Sunday. I am Walter Sterling. It's Mother's Day. Hey, what a revelation. Oh, my gosh, it's almost an all-news station now. Hey, he said it was Mother's Day. Must be so. Listen, I'm going to share with you some stories about my mom. Now, what could be more boring than that, except that I really want to hear about your mom. I grew up with a, ready, Jersey mom. My mother grew up in New Jersey. And Jersey moms are different. If you ever watched Real Housewives of New Jersey, that is all true. You ever watched The Sopranos, you watched Carmela Soprano, that's all true. Those women were very much in charge. This is how it went in all of our houses. Nobody's house was different. Ready? If there was a problem in a Jersey house, the mothers would gather around the campfire. They would all get on the phone. They would start talking to each other about how to solve the problem. Each Jersey mom had a secret resource. They had a profound connection to power. It usually started at the produce manager or the butcher at the nearest ShopRite. The nearest ShopRite was their kingdom, and the men and women who worked there were their subjects. When my mother walked into ShopRite, or in her case, King's, when she walked into King's, they bowed and scraped. Oh, we have these beautiful new peaches, Mrs. Sterling. Oh, look at this. We have this incredible filet mignon, Mrs. Sterling. They would all show her their wares, and she would smile and nod like the Queen of England. But when there was trouble, this is what would happen. The Jersey moms would start to call each other for a solution. Now, remember, each of them knew somebody. They knew the Monsignor, or the chief rabbi, or they knew the principal of the school or the board of directors, or they knew somebody in charge, one person. They didn't know two people in charge. Each of them knew one. And when they gathered around and talked to each other, they would come up with an urgent, immediate, and frighteningly efficient solution. I will tell you in just seconds what my mother would say if somebody threatened her family. It was blazing what my mother would say if somebody threatened the family. And while this was going on, the dads had a specific role in New Jersey families that I am sure does not exist in families in other cities. It's a unique role that New Jersey fathers have, and they must perform it perfectly, or it is the beginning of a divorce. I promise you it's the beginning of a divorce. All right, I'm going to share that with you in just seconds. Plus, I'm going to tell you the root cause of trouble with mom. The root cause of trouble with mom is this, and my number is 888-688-WALT. The beginning of trouble with mom is I had to confess something to mom. I did something wrong when I was 9, 10, 11, or 12, or 13, or 14. Somewhere in there, in that dangerous time period for a boy, I did something wrong. I did many things wrong. But the way to be relieved from the hell is to tell your mother. Just tell her what you did, and you'll be forgiven. I swear to you, you'll be forgiven. This is true of all New Jersey moms. Every New Jersey mom I knew was exactly the same. They dealt with their kids exactly the same. They dealt with them as though they were both sergeant and detective and Supreme Court judge. When I was 13 or 14, I stole a vinyl record from the public library. It came home with me, and I had removed the indicators on that vinyl record. I removed what proved that it was a public library record. And I did not tell my mother. And in about 8 seconds, she said, "Where did this record come from? Where did this come from?" And the library called her and said, "Does your son have an album? You know, does he have MAME? Does he have the Broadway musical MAME? I mean, if you're going to steal something, that is pretty lame." I had the Broadway musical LAME. MAME. Did I have that? Did I bring that home? And I looked at my mother and I said, "No, I did not steal it." "Where did this come from?" "I did not steal it." "Where did it come from?" "I did not steal it." Many years later, I'm standing next to my mother's deathbed. I'm standing next to her dying of uterine cancer. And I'm getting up the courage. I'm getting up the courage. I'm trying to say, "Mom, I did steal that record." I was trying to say it, and I couldn't get it out of my mouth. She died knowing that I had stolen it, but also knowing I never got up the courage to tell her. And I believe this is the epicenter of every problem that you have with your mother. You did something wrong, probably around the age of 13, and didn't tell her. That manifested guilt. And what happens with guilt? We diffuse it to who's ever nearby. Rather than saying, "I did it," we diffuse it to whoever is nearby. We don't admit it. And therefore, bad behaviors towards your mother start to build up. That's what happens. Rather than accept it, we deflect it, and we demonize our mom for even knowing. Rather than admit it, we deflect it. But I will tell you what the dads do in a crisis in Jersey households in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I'm live on Sunday night for 3 whole hours. Isn't this incredible radio? I think so. 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. East Coast, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. West Coast. This is Sterling on Sunday. Mike Lindell and MyPillow are offering a BOGO, buy one, get one free, extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join the millions of Americans, including me, who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, you get to buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow, ready, bed sheets, Giza Elegant MyPillows, 6-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials. Go to that page, the Radio Listener Specials at MyPillow.com, and use the promo code, what? Walter! Or call 1-800-844-0876. You can call them right now. 1-800-844-0876. Look around. Do you have anyone to talk to right now? He's asleep. Your relatives are sick of you. Nobody wants to talk to you except the team at MyPillow, 1-800-844-0876. Do not miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You will also receive a copy of Mike's book absolutely free with your order. That's right. You get Mike Lindell's book absolutely free with your order. You're not going to beat this. B-O-G-O, the BOGO, buy one, get one free.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
If you're like me, and you must be, you want to own your own business. But you want to be in a business where you've got a competitive edge. This is Social Indoor. Please go to SocialIndoor.com. SocialIndoor.com is a franchise opportunity that gives you an exclusive territory. And within that territory, you get to sell advertising and messaging that goes on computer screens located in premium restrooms in premium locations. Person comes into the restroom. There's the computer screen. It's beautiful. It's great. And it's maintained by Social Indoor. You don't have to worry about it. Social Indoor takes care of it. What you do is you sell the advertising on the screen and you get the money. This is quite a deal. Please go to their website, socialindoor.com, socialindoor.com. This is not a formal offering. That can only be made by a proper prospectus. But get the information. Go to socialindoor.com. I know you've been wanting to do this through the whole pandemic. Finally, you get to own your own business.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Jerry Springer.
Well, Jerry, can you hear me?
I can't hear anything.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Finally, a stripper running for Congress. Guess what's for sale? Later on Sterling at Night.
It's 21 past the hour. I love Vila Hula and his stripper on the loose reports. There's nothing else like it. All of those very serious talk show hosts who are dealing with very serious issues, I can't help you. I mean, this is a very different kind of show.
Sterling on Sunday.
All right, I was telling you about what it was like in a Jersey household when there was trouble. In a Jersey household when there is trouble, the dynamics between husband and wife, kids and father, completely different than in the rest of the world. Here's how it went. The mothers would talk to each other on the phone when there was trouble in the neighborhood. A kid misbehaved, a cop visited that wasn't supposed to visit, somebody's water got turned off. This is what would happen. The mothers would get on the phone and they would talk to each other. They would compare notes and decide who could get it fixed. Who knew somebody at the electric company, at the school district, whoever it was, they could get it fixed. What was the father doing? I'll tell you what the father was doing. The father went like this. The mother would look at the father and say, sit over there, Gabe. Just sit in the corner. We'll take care of it. And he didn't say a word, not one word. He sat in the corner with the Newark Star-Ledger or the Newark News or the Trentonian, and he'd be reading the paper, reading the paper. He didn't say a word. He just watched to make sure something happened or that he wasn't thrown out of the house yet. That's what would happen. The women in the house, the mothers in the house, solve the problem. That's the dynamic in a Jersey house. That's what would happen.
Sterling on Sunday.
Therefore, I never understood growing up anything about women need more authority, more power. They need a bigger position, whatever it was. In my world, mom was in charge. She was in charge. She and other mothers talked and solved the problem. And in my world, most of the private clubs, the mom was the member. The mom was the member of the golf club, the tennis club, the women's club, the little women's club. They were in charge. That's what I thought the world was. I thought the world was a matriarchy because in the state of New Jersey, it's a matriarchy. However, I'm going to give you an opportunity to solve a problem that I know you have because I had. When I was standing next to my mother's death bed, and I was trying to get up the courage to confess something to her that I did when I was 12, to say, Mom, you were right. I took that record from the library. I took it from the library. You were right. I never got up the courage. My suspicion is that there's something you wish you had confessed to your mom before she died, something that you carried for a long time. I'd like to hear that. My number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. There's Smitty in Las Vegas listening on KXNT. Hi, Smitty.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm excited to talk to you, Smitty.
Hey, the feeling is mutual.
Thank you.
Based on what you just said right there, if I had one thing to, well, first of all, let me just say this. My mother is going to be 98 years old in November. She is absolutely amazing. Never smoked or drank. She is unreal.
She would be our today. Youngest listener. Yes, Smitty.
Yeah. I mean, women are God's greatest creation. First of all, I mean, they give birth to other human beings. The thing you mentioned about yours real quick, about the record, and I'm taking the record from the library. That just reminds me of just one of the things my mother mentioned to me. I heard it from other people also, but so much from my mother and my father also. My father was amazing too. And I don't hear it a lot today, this particular phrase, but I'm kind of old school. And it goes like this. If you want something bad enough to steal it, you don't really need it. And I just found that to be true, at least in my life and most other people I've talked with. Anyway, mothers run the show. I mean, I don't care how submissive they appear to be on the surface. And I grew up in Washington, D.C. I'm in Vegas now, of course. And just my family and my aunts and everything. And again, they could appear to be, like I just said, you know, submissive or whatever. But you talking about running the show, I mean, absolutely amazing. What was the thing I was talking about earlier, the last thing you mentioned?
About something that you wish you had told your mother, confessed to.
Thank you. Right now, at my age, if there was one thing I want to, I've already said this to God a million times. Well, I'm exaggerating there, but many, many, many times. If I could go back in time to 1973, I think it was, or 74, when I was about 18 or 19, I would. Now, again, I'm not here to talk politics or anything like that. I'm just giving you my point of view now, as I feel, as I am. You know, getting to my elder years here, that I apologize for asking my girlfriend to have an abortion. So I'm just going to leave that laying right there. again, Mothers Run the Show, and I was talking real quick. I don't want to take up too much time here. I'll say this as quickly as I can. You know, sometimes this makes me kind of chuckle a little bit every year. I have no doubt that after they first created Mother's Day way back in the early 1900s or whatever it was, then somebody said a couple of weeks later, you know, we probably should do something for fathers too. Anyway, my father was just so amazing. Also, I
you
just
know,
want
Smitty,
to stick this in real
you know,
quick.
You know, and thank you for the call. You know what's great is that he loves his mother and father. I never hear that. Do you ever hear that? He also said, listen, this is what I wish I had done differently. And that's what I find is the epicenter of trouble with moms. That at some point you did something that she didn't want you to do, or you lied to her. And if you lie to your mom, that eats you the rest of your life. If you don't ask forgiveness, that eats you the rest of your life. And rather than going back to her and say, listen, you were right, I did this, it just swells inside of you. And every time you see her, you don't like her. And you don't even remember why you don't like her. You just say something nasty. You know, you're making that dish again. I can't believe you treated my brother this way. It has nothing to do with what you're saying. It has to do with the lie you told her when you were 14. That's the epicenter of trouble between a mom and you. It's you. It's you. The epicenter of trouble with me and my mother was that I stole a record from the public library. Everybody has their own crime. You may listen and go, what are you kidding? That's not a real crime. That's not a big deal. But to me, it was huge. It was a huge deal. And I never told her. On her deathbed, I was standing there. I'll never forget this. I was standing next to her at St. Barnabas Hospital. And she was dying of endometrium cancer. And I'm like, I really should tell her about the record. I really should tell her that she was right about the record. And I didn't. And I didn't. And there was no reason not to. I made up a reason, which was, oh, if I tell her, it'll make her sad. No, it would have made her fine. It would have made her just fine. Do you have something like that, that you'd like to get off your chest, something you should have told your mom, that you didn't tell your mom? You can tell me. And you're anonymous. No one knows who you are, but you get it into the universe, into the atmosphere, and it's done. It's cleared. Confession on the radio. It's magic. My phone number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. You did not win the Derby. Now you get to win spiritually. Here's the number once more, 888-688-9258. This is Sterling on Sunday.
New Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Al Bundy.
I don't want to have sex. You're my wife, for God's sake.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. An omega blot, which is a stagnant weather pattern, is setting up over the continental United States, meaning everything is moving very slowly as far as weather systems is concerned. So what you see is what you got for most of this week. Storms in the northwest bringing some much needed rain and snow to the Rockies. Even Lake Tahoe, California could get up to 8 inches of snow. Southern Montana could see over a foot of snow through tomorrow evening. Meanwhile, no relief for the wildfires in the desert southwest. Arizona, New Mexico, even the panhandle of Texas. Meanwhile, Las Vegas temperatures in the 70s to start the week, along with blowing dust as winds could gust up to 35 miles per hour at times. You'll be back to 100, though, by next weekend. May gray continues in the mornings along the California coast. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
Oh, Dr. Dave, you are so good this week. You sound so good. And he says things that we don't understand. That's the best thing about a real meteorologist. He accused the Midwest of building something secret above it that will probably look like a UFO. 36 past the hour. 36 past the hour.
Sterling on Sunday.
All right, now, I told you that I did something that I needed to confess to my mother before she died. I believe the epicenter of all trouble in your relationship with your mother is that you have kept a secret from her. And every time you see her, you are reminded of that secret. You have guilt charged into that secret, and then you look at her and go, my shirt doesn't work. These are bad curtains. Why do you spice the lasagna so much? And it has nothing to do with why you're talking to her at all. It has to do with the fact that you feel guilty about something you did that you haven't confessed to her. And if you would just confess it to her, that would be all gone. I'm going to give you a break. You can confess it here. Pretend I'm a Catholic priest on Saturday. Remember that? You had to go on Saturday to take communion on Sunday. You confess it to me. You're anonymous. No one knows who you are. It goes out over many 50,000-watt clear channel stations, not like those silly little network shows. This is a big network show on big radio stations. And then it goes into the atmosphere. It goes to Mars. Martian DNA eats it. Eats it, and you're done. You're done. You confess it here, and you're done. Here's the secret phone number to get in. It's 888-688-9258. 888-688, and here's the password, WALT. 888-688-WALT. I told you that I stole something from the library. I stole a record from the public library. Yes, they were called records, and I didn't tell my mother. But she found it immediately and demanded to know, what is this? And the library called her and said, "What? Where's our record? Where's our record, Mrs. Sterling?" And she goes, "He doesn't have it." She lied for me, so I made her lie for me. I stole something, I lied to her, and I made her lie for me, which is the ultimate crime. If you get your mother to lie for you and the police are not involved, that is a major crime. There was another crime that I committed that I did not fess up to. The greatest thing that can happen to a teenager is for mom, dad, and kids to go out of town for a week and leave you home. Now, I had a great summer job. I had one of the greatest summer jobs in the world. I worked at a radio station. I was a so-called newsman at a radio station. I'm going to drink this coffee now. You learn to drink coffee at radio stations. You learn to drink really bad coffee at radio stations. I was home alone for a week. They went to the shore, not the beach, the shore. And that was great because I could go to work, come home, not bother anybody. I was very happy. The first day that they were gone, I went on the air and I said, known drug dealer Bob Smith. I was a newsman. This guy got away from the cops, ran away from the cops. He was a drug dealer. And I get on the air and I say, known drug dealer Bob Smith is on his way to da-da-da, down the road. Da-da. And I get a call. I get a call from Bob Smith's mother screaming at me, how dare you say that he's a known drug dealer? How dare you say that? Now I'm scared. I'm going to sue you, she says. And then I call the police station. They go, oh, don't pay any attention. She's screaming at everybody. She's accusing everybody. Don't worry about it. That's what the cops said to me. However, because I was a good boy, I had to tell the owner of the station what I said. And he said, did you say alleged? I said, no. Did you say accused? I said, no. He said, you just said that he was a drug dealer. I said, yes. Now, at the time, because this was a humble radio station, there was no recording of what I said. This was an honor system, and I told the owner of the station what I said, and I said, you know, this is what the mother said. And he said, you didn't say that he was alleged drug dealer, an accused drug dealer, a maybe drug dealer. You just said it as fact. I said, yeah, I did that. All right, so the next day I see him. I come to work the next day, and he said, I'm going to suspend you for a week because you can't say that. You just must never say that, and you will never forget that I have suspended you for a week for not saying the word alleged. And you know what? He's right. I have never forgotten. I have never forgotten what he said.
Sterling on Sunday.
I then had this great opportunity to go home to an empty house. There was nobody in this house. I was home alone for 1 week as my parents were on vacation, and better than that, they didn't know why I was home. They didn't know I had been suspended for actually a good reason. Later in life, I would have actually fired me. But they didn't fire me. I went home. I had a real vacation. And my mother came home a week later. They never knew. They never knew. And I never told them that I had been home alone for a week because I had been suspended for not saying the word alleged. I never told her that. However, 10 minutes into the house, my mother gave me a mother look. She looked at me like she was mad. I'm like, why is she mad? She's mad. Well, I like to make pancakes. And some of the pancake batter had dribbled down the side of the oven, the stove. She saw this, and that was a criminal offense. That was a venial sin. That was not good. I had to clean that up. She couldn't imagine what other problems there were. Why didn't you clean this up? And then she starts imagining in her mind what other messes were in the house. There were no other messes. Believe me, I tried to clean it like surgery. I wish I had told her this story before she died. It would have relieved me of a lot of guilt and settled the score with my mom. This is the epicenter of trouble with mothers. That you did something, and you didn't confess it to her. And you spent every day the rest of your life waiting for her to either accuse you of it, catch you at it, tell somebody. Somebody would tell her. And that's how we live our lives. We live our lives in the minefield of guilt that your mother might catch you at something. That is the actual relationship with most mothers. Is she going to catch me at something? Is she going to catch me at this?
Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's 44 past the hour. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. It is a three-hour giant network radio show. We're on many, many radio stations that sit there and go, why isn't he on five nights a week? Why can't we get this every night? This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter Sterling. When I first got involved with the MyPillow company, I said, well, I'm glad you want to participate in the Sterling on Sunday magic, but if you really want it to work, you must share with the listener something they cannot get anyplace else, a special offer, because the MyPillow products are premium products. These are not cheap products. These are premium products made with Giza cotton. I said to the Mike Lindell people, I said, you have to offer something special. And they did. A BOGO, buy one, get one free. Buy one, get one free. Extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join the millions of other Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, get the buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. And so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials at the MyPillow.com and use the promo code WALTER or call 800-844-0876. Use that number. Call them now. 800-844-0876. I'll give it to you one more time because you want to make the call. You don't even have to buy anything. Just call them and talk to them. Learn about the products, and then you'll make an educated decision. 800-844-0876. Don't miss the incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You'll also receive Mike's book absolutely free with your order. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. 800-844-0876. Please call them now, 800-844-0876.
Inspired by the words of Alana Haim.
Now, when I talk to God, I know He understands. He said, sit by me and I'll be your guiding hand. Don't ask me what I think of you. I might not do the answers that you want me to.
Haim is just killing it this summer. A spectacular tour. My goal is to have one of the Haims on the show next week, and darn it, it's going to happen. The Sixers, the Philadelphia Sixers, 116, Miami Heat, 108. The Sixers won best of seven series, tied 2-2. This is Sterling on Sunday. That is pretty exciting. Pretty darn exciting for everybody in Philadelphia, which is everybody in the Northeast. Everybody in the Northeast thinks of themselves as a Philadelphian. It's true. They do. That's because of the pizza in Philadelphia. There's no better pizza than in Philadelphia. 49 past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. Excited to be with you. We're talking about the fact that it is the things that I don't tell my mother that gave me a miserable relationship with my mother. I had, by any definition, a fantastic mother. But every time I saw her, I got annoyed. And why did I get annoyed? I didn't need $500 an hour psychiatrist to figure this out. I knew exactly why. It was because there were things I did that I never told her I did, but she secretly knew. She knew, for example, that I stole the MAME soundtrack, the MAME album, the original cast album for the Broadway show MAME. I stole it from the public library, and she knew it. And the library knew it, but I never confessed, so they couldn't quite connect all the dots. They couldn't quite make the detective run. And they went away for vacation for a week once. Brother, sister, mother, father, they all left the house alone to me, a 17-year-old. Such a stupid thing to do. But I was a good boy. I never drank. I never did drugs. I never had bad girls over. I never had bad boys over. Such regrets. I have such regrets. However, I did get suspended from my radio station job. I had a job at a radio station. I got suspended for the week that they were gone because I said the wrong thing on the air. I accused somebody of being a drug dealer without saying accused, without saying alleged, without saying apparent, without saying perhaps. I just said this guy was a known drug dealer. And my boss at the radio station, the man who owned the radio station, had been a newsman. He knew every rule, and he was an ethical guy. Now, who knew there was a radio station owner who was ethical? They're all gone, and there's no more news on the radio. Isn't that fascinating? There's no news on the radio unless it's one of 7, 8 all-news stations in America. There's no other place that does news. Yes, this station does news sometimes, but the fact is mostly there's not. And there's no general manager who'd been a newsman. So the owner of this particular station had been a news director, knew every rule in the books. And he was not happy that his 17-year-old newsman did not use the word alleged before saying drug dealer. Instead, I said known drug dealer. And what happened? He suspended me for a week. But my parents weren't home. My brother and sister weren't home. They didn't know I was home alone every single day. I never confessed to my mother and father that I had been there alone all week. I was in heaven. I could not have been happier. I was so happy, but I had been suspended. That was one of the things I didn't confess to my mother. 888-688-WALT. If I had confessed these things to my mother, we would have had a better relationship because every time I saw her, I was crossing a hot wire. My guilt with her mother eyes. She'd look at me with those mother eyes and go, you know, what have you done? I know you've done things, but I don't know what they are. What have you done? 888-688-WALT. Now, if I had told her, it would have made everything easier. Because she would have forgiven me instantly. She would have said something like, you know what, why? This is how she would have thought. She would have thought, why would they have given you responsibility for an entire radio station? You're 17 and you're stupid. Why would you have gotten this responsibility? She would have blamed them. That was her protective armor for her kids. Now, let me tell you what my mother would have said, probably did say, if somebody physically threatened a member of her family. There was somebody in our family who we didn't like at all. We, meaning all of us, we didn't like at all. And I said to my mother, I said, do you think this guy has ever hit her? Meaning one of my sisters. Do you think this guy has ever hit her?
Sterling on Sunday.
And she put down her knitting and her bag, you know, her proper waspy country club bag. I'm trying to think of the brand. That brand. And she looked at me with, her eyes changed from mother knitter to Jersey mom eyes, to Carmela Soprano eyes. She looked at me with Carmela Soprano eyes. She looked at me, she put down that bag, and this is what she said. Different voice than I'd ever heard before or since. She looked at me and she said, if he ever touched her, he would disappear. I'm like, whoa, what? He would disappear. That's what she said. She didn't explain how. She didn't say it was Houdini, a magic trick on stage. She didn't say anything else. She just said, he would disappear. And she meant it. Absolutely meant it. And then she went back to her knitting. That's a Jersey mom. Is there something you wish you had told your mom before she died and it would have improved your relationship with her? Here's my phone number. I'll give it to you. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Coming up in just seconds, I have two remarkable stories from London for you. Two remarkable English stories that will change your life. They will actually change your life. One of them is news that you and I have been waiting for a very long time. And then you and I will talk about the Kentucky Derby. The Kentucky Derby. And you know, why on Mother's Day does no one ever mention the grannies?
Grannies are no respecter of race, creed, or sex. Theirs is a harsh, ruthless world. A tough world. A world in which the surgical stocking is king. But what are they in it for, these senile delinquents, these layabouts in lace?
Oh, the violence. The prestige, mainly.
The free gifts. Putting the knee in the groin.
We like pulling the heads off sheep. Anti-takes.
Sterling on Sunday.
Coming up, I have Vic Ferrari, a retired New York City police detective who has real police stories, not these dumb podcasts that you hear from, you know, public radio where they do, well, you know, the Green River Killer. No, these are New York City cop stories, a retired detective telling police bar stories. That's what you and I want to hear, police bar stories. What do cops tell other cops when they retire? And he will reveal some of those stories for you in seconds. Plus, I have an old-fashioned talk radio and the drive-through brew. And you and I will go over this unbelievable story of the Kentucky Derby, where you and I were not at, and where we did not place a bet, where if you had placed a $1 bet, you would have gotten $80 back. What? That's right. If you placed a $10 bet, you would have gotten $800 back. Unbelievable. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I love being with you every Sunday night. The show is called Sterling on Sunday.
Was this man? What was it?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. We've got a pesky low-pressure system which has made it cool and gray, but it's slowly moving off into the Atlantic. But the problem is it's in no hurry. In fact, later in the week, it's going to retrograde and meander off the southeast coast, bringing rain to Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas. But things should brighten up and warm up slowly in the northeast from the lower 50s to the lower 80s by next weekend. Meanwhile, the spring's first heat wave will set up in the southern plains and move northward this week. Look for over 100 degrees in South Texas. In fact, Chicago will see close to 90 degrees on Tuesday. Kansas City, close to 100. Omaha, Nebraska, 93. Oklahoma City, 96. Tomorrow, Dallas, 95 as well. And Memphis, Tennessee, in the lower 90s. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story of sometimes things aren't as they appear. So in the early 90s, I was working in the Riverdale section of the Bronx. It was a hot summer night. I was doing a 4 to 12, and as my partner and I were coming off our lunch hour and we were leaving the precinct, a female cop handed us a slip of paper and asked us to rush up to this apartment at the other end of the precinct where someone called in a cardiac. We got over there as quickly as possible, pulled up in front of the building. It was a six-story walk-up. As I'm going up the stairs, I can hear screaming. So we get up to about the third floor. The apartment is packed. I start pushing through a crowd of people. When I get to the kitchen area, I see a set of legs sticking out of the kitchen. I turn the corner, and I see this woman laying on the ground with someone on top of her. And there's a young man, and he's screaming, "Mom, Mom, Mom." So I ask him to get up. When he gets up, the woman is covered in blood. She's been stabbed to death. The blood all over the kitchen has been dried, so it's not a bright red color. It's a rust brown. We sit him down. The apartment's been ransacked. Looks like a home invasion. So we start asking him questions. And that's when things started getting weird. Every time we asked this guy a question, he started repeating the question back to us before answering. He was vague and evasive. So as we started looking around the apartment, things weren't making sense. So the drawers were all dumped out, but then someone took the time to put the drawers back in, leaving the contents on the floor. The woman's bag was dumped upside down, then placed right side up, and no one had taken the money or the credit cards. To us, it looked staged. And with the way the son was behaving, the detectives brought him into the precinct to ask him some questions. At the precinct, he didn't say much. As a matter of fact, he said nothing. Not asking for a lawyer, he just said he wanted to leave. So the detectives obliged, let him go while we processed the crime scene. The following day, the detectives went back to the building where they found the young man in the hallway with several family members who were grilling him. The detectives sat back and just listened to the conversation from around the wall where they heard him tell chapter and verse that he, in fact, had killed his mother. What happened was he was a drug addict living at home, and his mother had had enough. She refused to give him any money and ordered him to leave the apartment. Enraged, he picked up a kitchen knife and stabbed her to death. He quickly took the murder weapon and his bloody clothes, put it in a plastic bag, and fled the apartment while leaving the front door halfway open, hoping someone would find her. When he returned several hours later, no one had found the poor murder victim in the kitchen. So he went through the charade of calling 911, calling the precinct, and calling his relatives that he, in fact, was the one that found his poor deceased mother. As a result of this, he was sentenced to 25 years in life in prison, where he remains there to this day. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
The Mother's Day Story. It's 10 past the hour. I'm Walter Sterling, and there's Leslie in Kansas. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, thank you.
Hi. You're on the air, Leslie.
Okay.
Now, you must turn off your radio. Don't listen to the radio. Listen to your phone.
Okay, yes, the radio's off. I'm actually, I'm in the house.
What
and
is
I'm
that?
Not near a radio.
What is that? What, is that a closet closing? What is going on?
Oh, I just shut the door. I'm taking care of my daughter right now.
How old's your daughter?
She's 5 months today, actually.
Look at you. Congratulations, Mom. This is your first Mother's Day. You have a five-month-old. A five-month-old will exhaust you until she's 15.
Well, it's such a delight, such a joy taking care of her and being there for her and being a mom. And I'm also really thankful for her dad. He's super helpful.
Now, that's a very important thing you just said. I don't hear enough from moms that dad is helpful, because the fact is dads are insanely helpful. And when I see a dad in the playground, this is something you don't see. When I see a dad in the playground with their kids, with their little kids, they are incredibly attentive. They are proud. They pay attention. They play with the kid. They are there. So congratulations to you for selecting the right dad. Now, let's talk about you. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I was calling because I had got in the car to go grab something to eat, and I turned on the station and I heard that you were having a show about what daughters would like to say to their mothers who are deceased.
Yes.
To save their relationship, I believe.
Yes. That's exactly right, because I believe that the epicenter of trouble in relationships between mothers and their kids is their kid doesn't tell them something, has spent their life lying about something that they did that they didn't want their mother to know. Every time they see their mother, it's like two hot wires crossing each other. The kid gets annoyed at their mother for no reason. The mother's confused. That's where the trouble is. How did it go with you, Leslie?
Well, in my case, my mother is actually still living, but I decided to call anyway because I kind of feel like I'm at a point where I feel like she's sort of dead to me. And I felt like, you know, what would revive our relationship and bring us closer and kind of salvage everything after everything we've been through. And I just kind of wish I could tell her, like, you know, I will never understand why she made the choices she made as my mother, as the mother of me and all my siblings. But I just want her to know that, you know, I understand that she's been through a lot, too, with her own mother. And I don't hate her, and I never will hate her, despite everything I've been through and despite the many attempts at trying to salvage the relationship. And even though I do kind of do feel like right now she is pretty much dead to me, it's not because I hate her. I do still love her. It's because I feel like it's best for me to be independent of her because of all the trauma that I've experienced.
Leslie, I don't know what your mother did. I can't give you that kind of advice, but I can tell you that what I'm about to say is absolutely true. As soon as you can, tell your mom what you just told all of us, because what you told all of us was incredibly sweet and heartfelt, and nobody in the world could be mad at you for telling her that. Just tell her that, short and sweet, and get out of the conversation. Just say it, and you will feel different, because it's about your side of the street. You and I have to keep our side of the street clean. Thank you so much for calling, Leslie, and congratulations on that 5-month-old.
Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's 8:15 at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. What you and I are sharing is the fact that the reason we have trouble with our mothers is that we lie. We have kept something from her. I have not told her things that I did. And if I would just tell her the thing I did or tell her how I felt before she died, the relationship would have been better. Because every time I don't tell her something I feel guilty about, I would see her and it was two hot wires crossing each other, except for one problem. She didn't know what I was feeling guilty about. It was all on me. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Coming up, I have the drive-through brew and news about Jenny Garth. But most importantly, I have news about Doctor Who. 17 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Now, they've come up with an offering of a buy one, get one free extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join millions of Americans, including me, who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now,
get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. And so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code Walter or call 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You will also receive, you ready for this? A copy of Mike's book, absolutely free. That's right, you get a copy of Mike Lindell's book, absolutely free. So here's the number to call, 800-844-0876. When you get there, they start talking, they say, how do you hear about this? You say, Walter, 800-844-0876. These products are top quality products, finally at a price anyone can afford. You won't believe it. Go to the website and look at the colors of the sheets and the towels. Go to MyPillow.com. The promo code is Walter. When you put in my name, you won't believe how much the prices drop. Now it's buy one, get one free. Is that what I said? Buy one, get one free. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You will also receive a free copy of Mike Lindell's book, absolutely free.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
When I go to the greeting card section of a pharmacy, I'm always shocked at the price of the cards. They seem, whoa, overpriced. The other thing is they seem to be made for kindergarten teachers. All the messaging seems to be made for my second grade teacher. Where is an adult card that's properly priced and properly made? I'll tell you where. It's at filthycard.com. 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 I wasn't kidding. You go to that website, you will find cards that are appropriate for the people you go bowling with, for the people that you hang out with. These are adult cards, and you will have a lot of fun reading them. Go to filthycard.com. When you enter my name, Walter, you get $5 off. Go to filthycard.com. Open them up. You'll go, oh, my gosh. Filthycard.com. Filthycard.com.
On Sunday, inspired by the words of Long John Neville.
It contains a circus act by the name of the Flying Fools.
Alexandra M. Hunt. She's from Philadelphia, and she's upset about how Washington is not working to protect sex workers, people of color, and other folks that are being treated poorly. So she's done something. She's running for Congress. She's running in a Democratic primary in a safe Democratic district. She's begging people for their votes. And here's the other bonus thing is that she has an OnlyFans account. She's using her OnlyFans account to raise money for her congressional campaign. The perky 29-year-old is ready to serve. The 29-year-old from Philadelphia is ready to show Washington how hoes do their business. As she says on her website, elect hoes 2022. Let's face it, our politicians are for sale anyways, aren't they? Finally, eye candy in Congress for sale. Alexandra Hunt for Congress. From the Champagne Room, is strippers on the loose. I'm Vilo Hool for Sterling at Night.
Always look on the light side of life.
If life seems totally rotten,
there's something you've forgotten. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. If you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just pass your lips and whistle, that's the thing.
And always look on the bright side of life.
Do you watch this show? It's Better Things, that's created and written by Pam Adlon. It is one of the greatest television shows ever, and it's on FX. Now, it's interesting that FX has put out two of the greatest television shows I have ever seen. The other one is You're the Worst. You're the Worst is easily the best dating show, and I can't believe they got five seasons out of that. But Pam Adlin has put out Better Things, which is the life of a single mom raising three mouthy daughters in Los Angeles. I love this show. I hope you watch it, because you know why? After every episode of Better Things, I feel better. That was the closing music, the closing performance they did to their finale, the finale of the series. She's done. Now you can watch all of it endlessly. You can watch it endlessly. But look at that. One network has put out two of the greatest shows ever. You're the Worst and Better Things. Well written, well performed, original, inspirational. Every time I watch those shows, I always have the same reaction, which is, I'm in a terrible medium. Because radio used to do new stuff. We used to do new stuff. We used to try different things. We were fearless. And then around 20 years ago, we started to get afraid. And the reason we got afraid is because of the financial structure of our companies. I'm going to bore you for 42 seconds. There used to be a really good law. What I'm about to tell you, the people in radio won't even remember this law, and they won't believe me when I say it. But please listen. There used to be a very good law, which is that you could not own a radio or television station unless you could prove you had enough money in the bank to operate that station for the length of the license. You could not deficit finance the purchase of a radio or television station. That was a fantastic law. Everybody in my medium, everybody in radio complains about the fact that, you know, consolidation ruined our medium. Consolidation ruined our medium. It did not. It probably saved it. Probably saved it. But the thing that ruined it is deficit financing was allowed. It became possible to buy radio stations by floating debt, by floating stock and bonds. That never used to be allowed. You had to prove that you had enough money in the bank. If you had a 3-year license, 7-year license, 10-year license, whatever it was, you had to show that you had enough money in the bank to operate that station. You had to be solvent. That was a smart law. That got killed somewhere in the 80s. All of a sudden, you could raise money on the stock market, you could float bonds and stay in debt. And as a result, these radio and television companies are operating on a sea of debt. And that makes it very difficult to try things. It keeps you in a state of fear, just as you are afraid of the fact that your MasterCard, holy crow, I'm in the basement here, that they're begging you money on your MasterCard. They want that money for your MasterCard, that you're afraid to answer the phone, that you're afraid to drive your car, that it'll be seized because you owe money on it. Now that's the radio industry. That's the television industry. It's in deep debt. It's a great industry. It's a healthy industry. But people become very afraid to change the format on a radio station or a television station or to acquire new programming on a television station. That costs a fortune. And you don't know when it's going to end. I knew radio stations in the 70s and 80s that when they changed format, they made a business plan. And the business plan showed that they were going to lose money for 10 years. They actually planned to lose money for 10 years. That was not a problem. They had no concerns about that. That would never happen today. Never, 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 never. And therefore, things don't change the way they should. The great thing for me personally is when I look at Better Things, the Pam Adlin show, and when I look at You're the Worst, the romantic comedy on FX, I look at it and go, I can do better. One of the smartest things that Paul Thomas Anderson, the great director, the man who directed Licorice Pizza, the smartest thing he ever said was, if something inspires you, don't say, hey, that was great, I really enjoyed it. If it truly inspired you, it will inspire you to make something or to do something better. It will inspire you to take an action. When I saw the Licorice Pizza trailer, the trailer for the movie Licorice Pizza, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have done nothing for decades. I am so lazy. I saw a 2.5-minute trailer for a movie, and I'm like, I have to do better. That is true inspiration. That's what you want. And Paul Thomas Anderson said it better. Thank you to the creators of You're the Worst, an amazing romantic comedy, and to Pam Adlin for Better Things, which is a brilliant, brilliant real-life comedy. Both on FX. Somebody at FX is a very smart person. Truly inspirational. I hope you get to see those, too. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. And I love talking to you. It's Mother's Day, and we're talking about the fact that a lot of the trouble with mom is you. A lot of the trouble I have with my mom was because I feel guilty about things I didn't tell her. She died not knowing some of the things I did, which were no big deal in any universe except in my brain, which is a very dangerous neighborhood. My brain is a very dangerous neighborhood, and I didn't share those things with my mother, who might have forgiven me, but at least we would have been on an even playing field. At least she would have known why it was that I'd be, you know, annoying and dramatic and condescending when I saw her. It was just to deflect things I felt guilty about. Maybe you've had that sensation. Things I did not compliment her on about. But it was always my responsibility to level the playing field. I didn't do it. How about you? Here's a phone number you can confess in public anonymously. You can confess anonymously. Isn't that great? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. I'm Walter Sterling, and the name of this show is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Neil Rogers.
And the right against the left, and the left against the right, and who's got the better haircut? The same old, tried and true, tired, tired, monotonous crap that doesn't change anything, and the median age of your audience is death.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. An omega blot, which is a stagnant weather pattern, is setting up over the continental United States, meaning everything is moving very slowly as far as weather systems is concerned. So what you see is what you got for most of this week. Storms in the northwest bringing some much needed rain and snow to the Rockies. Even Lake Tahoe, California could get up to 8 inches of snow. Southern Montana could see over a foot of snow tomorrow evening. Meanwhile, no relief for the wildfires in the desert southwest. Arizona, New Mexico, even the panhandle of Texas. Meanwhile, Las Vegas temperatures in the 70s to start the week, along with blowing dust as winds could gust up to 35 miles per hour at times. You'll be back to 100, though, by next weekend. May gray continues in the mornings along the California coast. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. If you're driving an 18-wheeler and you call in, you get on first. Johnny in Richmond, Virginia, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
You're on the air.
Do you want me to? Yes, I realized that. Oh, my God. They told me not to curse, so you might want to have your hand ready on the dump button because I'm kind of like a sailor in that sense.
Yeah. How do you know it's a dump button?
I've been in a radio station a couple of times.
That's scary, isn't it, to be in a radio station? Was it different than what you thought it would be like?
Actually, it was a lot more chill. It was very relaxed.
Johnny, what would you like to share about your mom?
She's the best out there, so watch out. I love my mother. I'm a proud mama's boy. I don't care. But I took your advice and kind of was saying, like, I couldn't go into each one of my sins with my mom, but I told her I broke a lot of his commandments, and she had to ask herself if she really wanted to know the answer, you know. But I told her I'd tell her.
And you told her, and what happened? Did she throw you out, or did she forgive you?
I mean, she said she forgave me, so it's pretty much all good now. We're square or whatever.
Well, that's fantastic, Johnny. Thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. There's very big news in London. And the big news in London is about Doctor Who. Now, you watch Doctor Who, even if you don't admit it. I know you do. Here's the deal. You ready? There's a new doctor. Nudi Gatwa has attended this year's BAFTA TV Award ceremony alongside Doctor Who writer Russell Davies after it was confirmed that he will take over from Jodie Whittaker as the new Doctor Who.
What do I miss most about Scotland? The people. Like, I miss the people. I think, like, when I first moved down to London, people must have thought I was mad. Because, like, where I'm from, like, you pass people in the street and you say morning,
yeah,
even if you don't know them.
Right.
And then that is not something that happens in London.
At all, no. Why are you doing that?
Oh, yeah. People were looking at me like, excuse me, like, why are you trying to kill me?
Nudi Gatwa is the first black actor to take on the leading role as the Doctor, after Jodie made history as the first permanent female Time Lord in 2017. Jo Martin played the first black incarnation of the Time Lord in a 2020 episode, Future of the Judoon, as Ruth Clayton. But Gatwa became the first black doctor to be cast as the series lead. Scottish actor Gatwa, who was born in Rwanda, starred as Eric Efwong in Netflix's hugely popular Sex Education. So Nudi was in Sex Education, big star, terrific actor. Queer as Folk and It's a Sin writer Russell Davies is returning as the program's showrunner after departing the show in 2009. These are big changes at Doctor Who. I know you're a Doctor Who fan, and I know you have very strong feelings about Doctor Who. Many people did not like Jodie as the Doctor. I like Jodie as the Doctor. I did not like her companions. I did not like any of her companions. I'm like, what the heck is this? Tony, listening in KDKA in Pittsburgh, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Walter. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you. Have you confessed all of your crimes to your mom?
I did not. She left us in 2015. My worst crime, well, most of the time, me and her were at odds because I drank too much. And the worst one was, have you ever had Mogan and David? We call it Mad Dog.
No, I'm very happy to say that I haven't had a drink in 30 years, Tony. Have you gotten sober?
I'm not sober, but I'm nowhere nearly as drunk as I was 30 years ago.
Good for you.
Yeah, Mogan and David, they call it Mad Dog. It's cheap wine. Well, me and my cousin got a hold of some Mad Dog and then another cheap wine called King Solomon. And I ended up over the hill in the weeds from my house. I was gone all day, like a whole day, like almost 24 solid hours. And I finally came home, and my whole family was there. And my mother had my black book, which had all my numbers in it, which weren't numbers I use very often. That's why it was my black book, you know. And she called everybody in that book. Finally, I come home, and I didn't tell her the truth. I told her I was at a friend's house. I was tired from working overnight, like I am now, and I fell asleep. That was that. But no, she never learned the true story. She probably would have had a heart attack. But other than that, we had a pretty good relationship. But when we were at odds, it was because of me and certainly not because of her.
Now, you see, Tony, that takes a real man to admit that it was you. Because the
absolutely.
The secret with moms, in my opinion, is that they will forgive if you tell the truth. They will forgive. It is getting to the truth that is the great challenge. And I thank you for listening to Sterling on Sunday, Tony. Thank you so much for listening. It's 43 past the hour. It's 888-688-WALT. That is my phone number. I look forward to talking to you. I have an email. Every email I get, I answer. WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. And this is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter Sterling. When I first got involved with the MyPillow company, I said, well, I'm glad you want to participate in the Sterling on Sunday magic, but if you really want it to work, you must share with the listener something they cannot get anyplace else, a special offer, because the MyPillow products are premium products. These are not cheap products. These are premium products made with Giza cotton. I said to the Mike Lindell people, I said, you have to offer something special. And they did. A BOGO, buy one, get one free. Buy one, get one free. Extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join the millions of other Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, get the buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. And so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials at the MyPillow.com and use the promo code WALTER or call 800-844-0876. Use that number. Call them now. 800-844-0876. I'll give it to you one more time because you want to make the call. You don't even have to buy anything. Just call them and talk to them. Learn about the products, and then you'll make an educated decision. 800-844-0876. Don't miss the incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You'll also receive Mike's book absolutely free with your order. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. 800-844-0876. Please call them now. 800-844-0876.
With another edition of Drive Through Brew, I'm J.J. Wilson. Mm-hmm. What do Jake and the manager talk about when they're not loading beer and snacks into people's trunks? Well, women, of course. Let's listen.
Jake, you look a little down today. Everything okay?
Not really. I went to the bar last night and talked to three different girls, and all of them turned me down for a date.
Oh, that's terrible.
The first girl said she was getting paid to test a new shampoo, and she had to wash her hair every night for the next 2 years.
Baloney, what about the second girl?
She said her Siamese cat was sick and she had to take it back to Siam.
How stupid.
And the third girl said she wouldn't date me because I had a room temperature IQ.
To heck with her.
So I said, my house ain't air conditioned and the rooms get real hot in the summer. Would you date me if my IQ made it over 90?
This isn't looking good. I wonder what kind of pickup lines Jake is using. Listen next time when he says,
hey, darling, you look real familiar. Didn't I see you get hit in the face on the Jerry Springer show?
That's next time on Drive Through Brew, Word Car speaking.
888-688-WALT. That's the phone number for Sterling on Sunday. That's what you're listening to. A live show on Sunday night. No, really, a live show. This is not a best of. It's not a repeat. It's a live radio show on Sunday night. It is shocking and disgusting to me personally, on a personal level, that the airways isn't filled, loaded with beautiful live radio shows. And if you listen to an FM music station, I promise you, there isn't one live disc jockey on the air, on the FM band, none. They all recorded their voice tracks on Thursday, and then they went to Ruby Tuesdays, and they're still there. But that's the deal. I decided to come in and commit the joy of doing live radio. Very few people know how to do it. You would not believe this nonsense. I mean, this is nonsense. Where is it? Prince William and Kate want to be known by their first names and not their titles. Prince William and Kate want to be known by their first names and not their titles. The Duke and Duchess plan to shake up royal protocol to modernize the monarchy. Public relations blunders during the tour to the Caribbean. Prince William and Kate Middleton want to be known as their first name They aim to put an end to bows, curtsies, and formal titles when in public. Duke and Duchess of Cambridge are motivated by Caribbean tour hit by gaffes. What were the Caribbean tour? They said they want to be more approachable, less formal, less stuffy, and break away with a lot of tradition. Well, of course. I'm glad they put out a press release because, you know, it's so amazing. Talk about formality. They have put out a press release on how they don't want to be addressed. Now, that's pretty formal. Pretty formal to put out a press release on how they want to be addressed or not. Right there, they haven't changed a thing. They felt it was appropriate and necessary to put out a press release about how they want people to talk to them. Therein lies the trouble. The press releases I really can't stand are the ones of minor, medium, and major celebrities when they get a divorce. And the press release says they would appreciate privacy in this sensitive time. They would appreciate privacy at this time. What is that? Then don't put out a press release announcing your divorce. If you didn't put out the press release, we wouldn't know you're getting a divorce. And here's the shocker, buddy. We don't care you're getting a divorce. We absolutely don't care. It's the same thing as when stupid companies make a public mistake. They make a public relations mistake. They have an employee who made a gaffe in a speech or a podcast. And they make that employee apologize. They make a public apology for something they said in a podcast or a speech. Where that is the height of stupidity is that all of a sudden, far more people know about the mistake than would have known otherwise. Has no one figured out that public relations math yet? That you have made more people aware of your mistake by apologizing for your mistake than if you just kept your mouth quiet, took down the podcast, and just shut up. Just get out of your sea of arrogance, out of your assumption that the world knows what you've done and actually cares about what you've done, because they don't care about what you've done. What they care about is how their kid did in school today, how the kid's grades are going to look for this quarter. That's who they care about. They don't care what your company said in a stupid podcast. I've known people who have lost their companies because of podcasts, but not because of something that was said in the podcast. It was because they made the person apologize. The dumbest thing you can do as a company is a public apology, because it works on the arrogant and wrong assumption that anybody cares about your company, that anybody cares what you guys said. They don't. They don't care. They would be storming the Bastille if they did, but they don't. They just don't care. Over and over again, companies will say, well, we apologize. We are going to apologize. We're going to put a podcast out that apologizes. In a press release, we apologize. Don't. Just shut up. No one will know. The other weird thing is that people get things wrong. A lot of people in your community, your audience, your consumer base may think that that was fine. They didn't really hear what was said. They probably think that was fine, whatever it was. Or they think it was terrible. But whatever it is, it's not life-threatening. No one apologizes. Don't apologize. Just let it go. And for God's sakes, don't say, we're looking for privacy at this sensitive time. Then don't put out a press release. Right? Then don't put out a press release. People are weird. Companies are especially weird. I would hate to be the head of communications for any company today, because they're all so sensitive. Everybody's so sensitive. But the fact is that if you put out an apology, you're going to make it worse. I'm telling you, you're going to make it worse. I know about these things. And I've had jobs where I've been responsible for really horrible and decadent radio programming. You know, I'm the guy who put Dr. Ruth Westheimer on the radio. That took a weekly apology. I ran and consulted radio stations that aired Howard Stern. That took weekly apologies.
But I looked at the fact that more people listened and paid attention to those shows than demanded an apology. 10 angry people demanded an apology, and 10 million people listened to the show. It was simple math. It was not hard to figure out. Here's my phone number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Coming up, we have the Midnight Misfits. We have the time of day where you go to the vending machine at your place of work, and what do you see? You see a bear claw. You see the worst possible selection of food in the vending machine. Plus, we have the old-fashioned talk radio. I've got drive-through brew. We did that. And, oh, we'll talk a lot about the Kentucky Derby, because the Kentucky Derby was remarkable. And poor Jenny Carth is sick. I mean, not really sick, but she has a problem that we'll talk about. Jenny Carth, everybody had a crush on Jenny Carth from 90210. But the Kentucky Derby this year, if you had a dollar, you bet a dollar, you'd get $80 back. 80-1 odds. It was the highest odds in the history of the Kentucky Derby, except once. Once there was a horse with worse odds. This is the second worst odds in the history of the Kentucky Derby. The payouts were insane, crazy. And you and I can talk about that. Are you having a good Mother's Day? Are things going the way you want? Is this the life you had in mind? I don't know. I did, you know what I did all day? For 2 days straight, I just watched You're the Worst on FX. That's all I did, is I watched the TV show You're the Worst, and I still haven't gotten to the end of the fifth season, which supposedly has a remarkable payoff. The last episode's supposed to be great. You got to watch this show. And then I'll tell you about the mistake I made with You're the Worst. I made a mistake that's like, you probably made this mistake, and it was like, what was I thinking? What the hell was I thinking? A lot coming up. Let's see. We've got, I'll tell you about that in just seconds. I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. We've got a pesky low-pressure system which has made it cool and gray, but it's slowly moving off into the Atlantic. But the problem is it's in no hurry. In fact, later in the week, it's going to retrograde and meander off the southeast coast, bringing rain to Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas. But things should brighten up and warm up slowly in the northeast from the lower 50s to the lower 80s by next weekend. Meanwhile, the spring's first heat wave will set up in the southern plains and move northward this week. Look for over 100 degrees in South Texas. In fact, Chicago will see close to 90 degrees on Tuesday. Kansas City, close to 100. Omaha, Nebraska, 93. Oklahoma City, 96. Tomorrow, Dallas, 95 as well. And Memphis, Tennessee, in the lower 90s. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
Well, the Kentucky Derby. Now, did you get a chance to see the Kentucky Derby? This was a remarkable historic Kentucky Derby, because it had the winning horse had the worst odds in the history of the Kentucky Derby, except for one. It was real simple. If you put down a dollar, you got 80. Okay, that never happens. It's usually like you put down a dollar, you get 3. That would be good odds. But this was, you put down a dollar, you get 80. Here's the owner of the winning horse.
I'm so proud of this horse and all my guys, my jockey. You know, it was a team effort from a long time ago, and we were just trying to get here, and it just went a step further than we could ever have dreamed. So don't know what I can say other than it's just an absolute miracle. But he trained good enough to win that race all week long.
Can you imagine? Now, Trump watched the 80-1 long shot Rich Strike, the name of the horse was Rich Strike, win the Kentucky Derby as he hosts a $75,000 a head fundraiser in faux Mitch McConnell's home state. The horse had second longest odds ever since a 1913 winner. Here are some of the facts. The Kentucky Derby is back at full capacity. Everybody showed up. About 150,000 spectators dressed to the nines flocked to the Churchill Downs Racing Complex on Saturday. The event saw the likes of celebrities, politicians, and fans in crazy costumes, including one dressed as a T-Rex. There are 14 races taking place at the Kentucky Derby track on Louisville. There are 148th running of the Derby. The Derby, which will see 23-year-old thoroughbreds run 1.25 miles, begins at 6:57 p.m. Kentucky bred Epicenter, running out of the number 3 position, was the second choice in the morning line at 7-2. Well, that was quite an event. Now, let me tell you about my memory of the Kentucky Derby, because a very, very key event in my career happened at the Kentucky Derby, and I don't even race horses. You know about the clubhouse at the Kentucky Derby. You either have to be very famous or pay a lot to get into the clubhouse at the Derby, or you have to do what I did. I worked at ABC, and ABC covered the Kentucky Derby. We did the play-by-play of the Kentucky Derby. It was a very big deal. It was sports guys in the sports department. They fought over getting the coverage of the Kentucky Derby because it is a remarkable, spectacular event. It is grand and beautiful. 100,000 people on the playing field. People proud to be there, happy to be there. This is not a beer. There was nobody there drinking beer from their hat. That's the best way I can explain it. Nobody drinks beer from their hat at the Kentucky Derby. They drink beer from very nice glasses. Every woman there wants you. It is the easiest place to find a partner for sex is at the Kentucky Derby because everybody is liquored up. They're all very happy. All right, so I'm there with my boss. I was at ABC. My boss was the president of the ABC radio networks. He was a visionary, brilliant man. His name was Ed McLaughlin. And after Ed left the radio network, he found a host to syndicate. He's the man who syndicated. My microphone's falling apart. He's the man who syndicated Rush Limbaugh. A brilliant guy. All right. Now, it's my boss. He's a larger-than-life character. And he used to be expansive when he drunk. There are really two types of drunks. There are drunks who want the world to get bigger and want you to join them. And there are drunks who want the world to get smaller. And they get angry and they don't want anyone around. Ed was a happy drunk. Everything was great. He used to have what we called dare to be great nights. If you went out drinking with Ed, he would dare you to be great. He would dare you to do the next big thing. That's the kind of drunk he was. Now I'm at the Kentucky Derby. We are in the clubhouse. I'm thrilled to be in the clubhouse. But it's like 20 minutes before the Kentucky Derby. And Ed looks at me and the head of sales and some other guy and motions to us to leave the clubhouse. And I'm like, I don't want to leave the clubhouse. I want to watch the Derby from the clubhouse. We go out, and I see that there's a catwalk that I didn't realize was there outside of the clubhouse. We walk down the catwalk. We go up a few steps, and now we are above the clubhouse at the Kentucky Derby, above it at Churchill Downs. We're about 10 feet above it. And now we can see everything from 10 feet above the clubhouse at the Derby. This is where special people go. This is a really amazing deal. We're out looking over the 150,000 people. We're looking at this beautifully dressed crowd. And Ed McLaughlin puts his arm around me. And he's not that drunk. And he says, see all this, Sterling? And I was single at the time. I was single. I hadn't been married. I was dating a nice girl from Kansas City. And Ed put his arm around me. And he said, you see all of this, Sterling? You see all of this? You see the clubhouse? There you were gambling with the President of the United States. Look at all these beautiful women, these handsome men. Look at all of this, Sterling. Look at all of this. And remember it. Remember it. Because one day, your wife is going to want all of this.
Sterling on Sunday.
14 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. Mike Lindell and MyPillow are offering a BOGO, buy one, get one free extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join the millions of Americans, including me, who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, you get to buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow Ready bed sheets, Giza Elegant MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials. Go to that page, the Radio Listener Specials at MyPillow.com, and use the promo code, what? Walter! Or call 1-800-844-0876. You can call them right now. 1-800-844-0876. Look around. Do you have anyone to talk to right now? He's asleep. Your relatives are sick of you. Nobody wants to talk to you except the team at MyPillow. 1-800-844-0876. Do not miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You will also receive a copy of Mike's book absolutely free with your order. That's right. You get Mike Lindell's book absolutely free with your order. You're not going to beat this. B-O-G-O, the BOGO. Buy one, get one free.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
If you're like me, and you must be, you want to own your own business, but you want to be in a business where you've got a competitive edge. This is Social Indoor. Please go to socialindoor.com. Socialindoor.com is a franchise opportunity that gives you an exclusive territory. And within that territory, you get to sell advertising and messaging that goes on computer screens located in premium restrooms in premium locations. Person comes into the restroom, there's the computer screen, it's beautiful, it's great, and it's maintained by Social Indoor. You don't have to worry about it. Social Indoor takes care of it. What you do is you sell the advertising on the screen, and you get the money. This is quite a deal. Please go to their website, socialindoor.com, socialindoor.com. This is not a formal offering. That can only be made by a proper prospectus. But get the information. Go to socialindoor.com. I know you've been wanting to do this through the whole pandemic. Finally, you get to own your own business.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of South Park.
Yeah! Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah! Boy, I think, is this a party or what?
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida Story, let's go ahead and stay in Polk County. They're having a lot of fun there this week. Polk County sheriffs just announced a very successful investigation where they're rounding up 60 people already. 68 people charged, 60 of them already in custody. There's still 8 of them they're looking for. But the name of this operation is called Swipe Left for Meth. It's a very clever name because they got a tip back in the summer that people were selling drugs on gay dating apps. And so sure enough, they go check out three of the more popular ones, Grindr, Scruff, and Taimi. I've never heard it said. But after digging around a little bit, the police kind of noticed the code there that certain emojis meant certain different drugs and certain dating air quotes, profiles, weren't looking for dates at all. They're literally just looking to sell drugs. So the cops went on a buying spree. They got 280 grams of meth, 645 grams of marijuana, 113 grams of ecstasy, a gram and a half of fentanyl, 28 grams of psychedelic mushrooms. And I don't know what any of this is because I don't know what a gram is, but it sounds like a lot. And I think one of the undercover officers actually found a boyfriend, too. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
And for our last Florida story, we're going to a nice little town called Iona, where they're having some sort of rabbit holocaust. Dozens of dead rabbits are showing up all over neighborhoods in Iona. WINK has the story.
It's not unusual to see these guys hopping around in the Parker Lakes community. But to see them in this condition, that's got people in this South Fort Myers neighborhood worried and upset.
Right at our front door. And I thought, huh, kind of let it go. And then about 2 weeks later, we saw another one behind the house. And then after looking a little more, there was another one 10 feet away.
And after talking to neighbors, he realized he's not the only one running into this.
Did a little research on the internet and came across this rabbit hemorrhagic disease.
So I reached out to Florida Fish and Wildlife, and they say rabbit hemorrhagic disease virus 2 is something they've been keeping an eye on around the state.
So instead of multiplying like rabbits, are they dividing like rabbits? Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at James Parker Show. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
They're naked and afraid of having to put clothes on. Key West's famed Fantasy Fest, a raunchy annual bacchanal that draws the garment adverse from across the globe, could soon be forced to cover up. Bacchanal. It's almost an onomatopoeia. Bacchanal. Sounds exactly like what it is. A bacchanal. Sounds incredible. A coalition of residents and business owners want to crack down on public purience during the October bash, and changes are likely imminent. The truth is that there's an overreaching feeling that we need to scale back on some of the nudity and the debauchery that has been occurring for some time. When residents start complaining, we have to be responsive, says District Commissioner Clayton Lopez. Local ordinances officially ban nudity, but many fantasy festers elude the rule with Bondi paint or just ignore it altogether. Under increasing pressure, officials are considering ways to sanitize the event that launched in 1979 as a way to spur commerce during the area's slowest season. Lopez says he expects Key West officials to propose a concrete set of reforms in the coming months that will focus on suppressing nudity. What a tragedy. What a horrible thing. The simple fact is that in a beach community, the reason you go there is to be naked. And the reason you go there is to see and feel naked people. And Key West, have you been to Key West? Let me tell you about Key West. Most of the people there are mostly naked most of the time. You go to a swimming pool at a hotel, most of the people will have their clothes off, even though it is not permitted formally. There are no signs saying, be nude. There are no signs saying, don't be nude. So it's tricky. But when it's 88 degrees in January and the rest of America is minus 8 degrees, your brain changes. It changes how you think. And that's why people go to Key West. I don't see any harm in it. In fact, I think the rules should be changed to, you must be nude. If you want to be in Key West at any time, any place, you need to be naked. Be like the Philadelphia Naked Bike Run. It always shocks people that in Philadelphia, once a year, everybody goes on a bicycle run and they are naked. Well, why isn't that the same way in Key West all the time? I believe that everybody in Key West should be naked all the time. Wouldn't this save a lot of trouble? Wouldn't this save a lot of issues? But now they say it's too much like a bacchanal. The purpose of Key West, the southernmost point in the United States of America, is to be incredibly warm and incredibly horny. That's why it exists. Don't tell me you're really interested in Ernest Hemingway's house. You're not interested in Ernest Hemingway's house. You don't care if you swam in his pool. Doesn't matter. What you want is to be nude. And you want your significant other to be nude, and you want that person over there to be naked because they look really interesting. Therefore, I think the purpose of Key West is to be naked. You go to Key West, you should be able to be naked anywhere you want. I don't know who would be in, who in Key West would complain about nudity. It's like, do you realize where you live? Do you realize where your business is? Everybody's here to be naked. Nothing wrong with it. Really good. How do you feel? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Now, you don't want to go to Boston and have everybody be naked. That would be bad. But Key West, it really is exactly what it's designed for. It's the purpose of Key West. I feel very strongly about this. I think I'm right. It's not that I think I'm right. I am right.
Sterling on Sunday.
Now, there was a woman in Maryland who returned from vacation to find $50,000 of her possessions stolen and squatters in her bed. No, that's what I said. A Maryland woman returns from vacation to find two squatters in her bed and $50,000 of possessions stolen. She left on March 28th. The apartment was fully furnished, but the squatters had stolen an estimated $49,000 in possessions, even her kitchen cabinet doors. The Greenbelt, Maryland woman returned to her home in Edmonton on April 5th to find her front door damaged and her apartment devoid of possessions and furniture, except for her bed, where a man and a woman were sleeping. All that remained were trash bags and trash on the walls. Even the doors of her kitchen and cabinets had been removed. Now, can you imagine this? You come home, and not only has your home been ransacked, but the people who ransacked it are lying in your bed. It's a terrifying thing. When I first moved into Manhattan, I moved into a building in a neighborhood that was known for being a, what was it? What was that drug designed to get you off heroin? Methadone? Methadone clinic. Yeah, methadone. The state of New York had a methadone clinic above the laundromat on my block. There was the laundromat. Above it was a methadone clinic. And there I was half a block away. The problem I had was that I had a television, and I had other goodies. I lived in a not secure building. I lived in a walk-up. The way you got into my building is you busted the front door, which they would do, come up to the top floor, which is where I lived, and there was no way out. I was at the top floor. There was no way out. Three-story walk-up. The first week I lived there, this is what happened. Somebody punched the peephole in my front door. It was a steel frame door. It was a rolled steel door. They punched out the peephole, rolled back the steel. I have no idea what equipment they used because it looked like it took nothing. They put their arm in, their hand in, they turned the locks, and they got in. My television disappeared. That's all they took, my television. There was no cash in there. There was nothing else to steal. They took the Trinitron, and that's how you know when I moved in. They took the Trinitron. The next, about 2-3 months later, it got worse. 2-3 months later, rather than go through the trouble of going through a steel door, they knocked the wall down next to the entrance to my door, next to the frame. That they knocked the wall through the plasterboard, put their hand in, and unlocked the lock. That's how they got in. And they stole, I don't know, what they steal, another TV? That was it. There was nothing else in there of any value. How did they break into your home when you had a robbery? Did you have something like this where two people were still lying in your bed? The other thing I found is that progressively the police cared less. The first time, they dusted for fingerprints.
And every time they did less and less and less, till the last time of six times I was broken into. On the sixth time, I said to them, are you going to dust for prints? And they looked at me strangely. I said, the first guy 2 years ago dusted for prints. Well, we don't do that anymore. Have you ever been robbed? What was that like? 888-688-WALT. It's our Midnight Misfits, you and me. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. I am live on a Sunday night.
An omega block, which is a stagnant weather pattern, is setting up over the continental United States, meaning everything is moving very slowly as far as weather systems is concerned. So what you see is what you got for most of this week. Storms in the northwest bringing some much-needed rain and snow to the Rockies. Even Lake Tahoe, California could get up to 8 inches of snow. Southern Montana could see over a foot of snow through tomorrow evening. Meanwhile, no relief for the wildfires in the desert southwest. Arizona, New Mexico, even the panhandle of Texas. Meanwhile, Las Vegas temperatures in the 70s to start the week, along with blowing dust as winds could gust up to 35 miles per hour at time. You'll be back to 100, though, by next weekend. May gray continues in the mornings along the California coast. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our next Florida Story, we go to Disney World, where these two sisters, 29 and 31 years old, and I already know what you're saying. Yes, they're gorgeous, okay? But they're on a family vacation, and a whole slew of them went. Well, the grandparents stayed back at the hotel with the grandkids so the sisters could have a night out, and they go to a steakhouse, then they go to an Irish bar. And then they go to someplace, Cirque du Soleil is what it's called, but it's not a bunch of people flipping around in there. It just looks like a bar to me. And the word is they get wasted, absolutely wasted. And they kind of get loud and they start yelling at each other and arguing about something. So the manager says they have to go outside, and then they're outside yelling at each other. And the little sister pukes over by the park benches. And so the manager says, y'all are going to have to leave. And so while they're ordering the Uber, the phone runs out of batteries. So the manager says, all right, fine. I'll call you a cab or something. So the general manager's calling a cab. While they're waiting on the cab to show up, the girls start screaming at each other again. They kind of get in a fight, and both of their little sundresses rip. And one of them's not wearing a bra, so she's just flailing out in the wind. And the big sister takes a run at the little sister, slips on the throw up, and they tackle each other and roll into the bushes. And they're separated by the general manager, and it says a male cast member. So this could be anywhere from like a Prince Eric to a Sebastian the Crab. I have no idea. The cops show up. They offer the younger sister that's totally flopping out there a blue jean jacket, it says. I don't know if there was a Marty McFly cosplay going on, but that's the story. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story. This is a dumb one. This is in the Villages. There's a 64-year-old Florida man who just got charged by the FBI for voting twice. He's from Connecticut. He just moved to the Villages, and he voted in both places in the election. His excuse? I just wanted to vote twice. Well, you know what? That's illegal, Florida man. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production. SpringRockMedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I would be very afraid to live in the Villages. Everything I've heard about the Villages to me is terrifying. You have to behave a certain way, grow your shrubbery a certain way, paint your houses a certain color. You can't have people under 50 living in your house. You can't have kids living in your house. It's all very scary to me. Why would anybody live there? Just stay where you are. When people are 50, when they're only 50 and they need to live in a retirement community and they think that's fun, yes, I'm being judgmental. I can't understand it. I will never understand that. I want to congratulate my 16-year-old who has won a major dance competition in Akron, Ohio today. She came home with a trophy and ribbons, and we put it, you know what I do with that stuff? I put it in the picture window of our home because I believe that those things need to be celebrated and embraced. And they're really hard. If you win a dance competition, you have worked your butt off. There is nothing easy about it. But she achieved the highest level she could. She won her category, and she won a platinum ribbon. There you go, Meredith. Congratulations to you. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. But then I have a 19-year-old who's going to be a junior next year. She's coming home on Friday. I thought I was going to have X, but I'm going to get Y. And here's what happened. I get the call from hell last night, the call you never want as a parent. She had the right boyfriend, handsome, knew what he wanted to do with his life, didn't seem to have any drugs, seemed to be a good guy. I still think all of that's true, except for one detail. He broke up with her. They were going together for months, and it was going well. She never complained. She never said this was. And he cooked for her. He made her nice dinners at college because his family lived in that city. He cooked for her. He went a semester abroad, and she stayed at college. He went a semester abroad, and I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be bad. Well, it wasn't bad. That worked out fine. He came home. He was still with her. They were still together. They still loved each other. This was a great relationship. And I'm like, okay, what are you guys going to do for the summer? Is he coming home with us? Because I would have been happy to have him around. You know, things need to be done. She calls me last night. He's crying. She's crying. She's crying. Because they broke up. He broke up with her. Why did he break up with her? They were both loyal to each other. They both liked each other. They were very similar in many ways. Why did they break up? You ready? My daughter wants kids. Now, she's only 19. My daughter wants kids. He does not. He decided to end the relationship now rather than head toward a wedding, which I didn't see as tomorrow. I didn't see it for years. And then not have to go through with it because he doesn't want to have kids. He doesn't know anything. When you're 19, you don't know anything. Your opinion could change 50 times until you're 20. You don't know anything. So I don't know why he broke up with her. He says it's because he didn't want kids and she wanted kids. And I'm glad they got that over with now and didn't waste years. But I say things change, especially about that. I feel bad for my daughter. I'm going to have to drive home 5 hours with her and listen to this to try to help her. But boy, what do you say? What do you say? Anytime I've asked you for advice about what to do with my daughters, you give me great advice. What do I say to my 19-year-old whose boyfriend has just dumped her because he doesn't want to have kids? They weren't talking marriage yet. They hadn't picked a church. I think that was far away. But that's where she is today. My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. Oh, my gosh, is this live? You got to be kidding me. It's 43 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter Sterling. When I first got involved with the MyPillow company, I said, well, I'm glad you want to participate in the Sterling on Sunday magic. But if you really want it to work, you must share with the listener something they cannot get anyplace else, a special offer. Because the MyPillow products are premium products. These are not cheap products. These are premium products made with Giza cotton. I said to the Mike Lindell people, I said, you have to offer something special. And they did. A BOGO, buy one, get one free. Buy one, get one free. Extravaganza. On multiple MyPillow products. Now's the time to join the millions of other Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, get the buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows. And so much more. Just go to the radio listener specials at the MyPillow.com and use the promo code Walter, or call 800-844-0876. Use that number. Call them now. 800-844-0876. I'll give it to you one more time because you want to make the call. You don't even have to buy anything. Just call them and talk to them. Learn about the products, and then you'll make an educated decision. 800-844-0876. Don't miss the incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. You'll also receive Mike's book absolutely free with your order. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on select products. 800-844-0876. Please call them now. 800-844-0876.
How about that break-in the other day at the Democratic National Headquarters in Washington? Hi, I'm Brad. Five men are under arrest and police confiscated telephone listening devices, cameras, and a police radio. Sounds like these guys weren't just looking for money. And if some White House underlings are responsible, I hope the president will disavow them and make sure justice is done. I believe the president is a man of honor, don't you? He'll do the right thing. How do you feel? Phones are open now. I'll be ready to take your calls after the news and weather, brought to you by Pan Am Airways.
Who ever heard of an airline that goes around the world twice a day, every day?
Pan Am, make the going great.
The airline is the world's most experienced airline. The airline that's going places like you've never gone before.
All right, it's Sterling on Sunday. And you may say to yourself, well, Walter, this is a really interesting show. It's different than the other shows. Why aren't you on every day? I don't know. Some idiot said to me in a conference call, he said, well, you know, if you're on every day, what would be different about the show? More coffee. That's the answer. It'd be more coffee. Crazy. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I've been having a lot of social issues lately. Progressively over time, people in my personal life have decided that I voted for Donald Trump or that I'm a hardcore Republican. Now, I've never said on this show who I voted for, and I've never given you any particular clue as to which side. But we're at a moment in time where it is believed that if you have voted for a certain person, you may not be a person's friend. If I've known you for 30, 40 years, we've gone out to many, many dinners, I don't care who you voted for. I started thinking about what determines a friendship between two guys. Now, when I was in junior high and high school, it was very easy to know who your friends were. Your friends were the people who you'd pass in the hallway, and they did not shove you against the lockers. Those were your friends, the ones who did not shove you against the lockers. Pay attention to them. That was good. If it was a woman who you passed in the hallways and she looked at you and she said hello and she got your name right, she was your friend. If she looked at you and said, oh, that's interesting, I have to wash my hair tonight, that was not your friend. Believe it or not, I was so stupid in high school that I believed she was going to actually wash her hair. I called up Susie Skeets to go out with me for 6 weeks. Every Tuesday I called her. I figured the right day to ask a girl out was Tuesday. That would give her enough time to get ready, have plans, decide to come with me. And I asked her every week on Tuesday. You know what she said every Tuesday? She said, I have to wash my hair. That's the night I asked her out for, that was the night she washed her hair. Finally, she did go out with me. Finally, Susie Skeets did go out with me. That's a whole different story. But I have to tell you, it was a great date. And if I hadn't been such an idiot, she would have gone out with me again. But I was generally I didn't handle social things in high school that well. And then I got to college, I didn't handle them any better. But now that I'm an adult and out of college, it is hard for me to know who a friend is. Therefore, I've come up with a definition.
It is hard for me to know who a friend is. Now my definition is anybody who eats lunch with me twice, socially, not doing business. Anybody who eats lunch with me twice, that's my friend. That's as good as I can get. I can't get any better than that. But man, I have lost a lot of friends in the past year. For example, when I lived in Manhattan, my wife and I would go over to somebody's apartment often. They had two girls that were the same ages as my girls. We got along great. I liked them. They liked us. I thought we were friends. I missed them. I said to my wife, I said, you know, I really miss David. I miss the conversations I had with him. And she looked at me like I was crazy, like she usually does. And she said, well, why don't you call him? I'm like, wow, what a good idea. I have called him now several times in the past 2 weeks. He's never called me back. What do I think? Does that make him my friend? It doesn't seem like a friend to me. Now, Alex Bennett and his wife Marjorie, when I stay in New York City, they let me stay at his apartment. He's my friend. All right, we've cleared that up. I know he's my friend. He was a brilliant talk show host. He's my friend. Who else? I can't think of anybody. That's the challenge of... Oh, Bill Wills. I didn't know Bill Wills till I moved to where I am. He's a morning man at WTAM in Cleveland. And we go to lunch about once every 3 months. I have a great lunch with him. But I've said stupid things to him. I'll tell you. Sometimes you reveal too much or you reveal the wrong things that are just, why'd you bother to say that? At the end of my last lunch with Bill Wills, you know what I said to him? I said, I've had cataract surgery. So I have two new lenses. I had surgery for my eyes. And he looks at me, he had no idea what to say. He looked at me, he goes, looking good. It looks good. I'm like, oh, why did you say that? Why would you say that to him? Right? It's like, why would you say that? It's too much information. There's no appropriate greeting when you say to somebody, gee, I've had cataracts. There's no appropriate greeting. And that's the challenge, right? That's the challenge. How do you know you're friends with somebody? Well, they pay attention to you. They pay attention to the detail, all of that. But I really am not always sure what to do. And then there are friends who you might meet up with for lunch. No, stick with me. They're friends who you might meet up with for lunch, but then you go, oh, you know, I'm just going to call and talk to him. Maybe I'll call him around 6 o'clock when his work's done. I'll just call and talk to him. Every time I've done that with my friend Vic, who I'll see at lunch, but every time I've done that with Vic, he'll say on the phone, gee, Walt, I'm really busy. I'm with the family. He's always with the family. And I never get to just chat with him. So I have just chat friends on the phone, like Lee. And then I have friends I see in person for corned beef, but they don't cross. It's all very confusing to me. I don't know how to manage it. I don't know how to handle this. I'm not good at adulting friends. I'm not good at adulting. That's it. I'm not good at adulting. These are specific skills I absolutely do not have. I have an email. It's waltermsterling@gmail.com. Every email I get gets answered. What a joy that is. waltermsterling@gmail.com. And I have a spectacular website. Lee Harris made my website. I can't believe he made the website. The way you get to my website is you go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And there you will find everything about Florida stories. You'll find out that, yes, we do have a podcast, even though I don't believe in them. And along with podcasts, I have to say something that will be very unpopular. Streaming, audio streaming is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Because the way you get the show is over the air on the radio. How do you get the radio? You turn it on. That's it. That's all you have to do. Audio streaming means you have to buy a $2,000 computer or $2,000 iPad. You have to make the stream work. Usually you are greeted with buffering now. It's the most complicated thing, and it sucks. More importantly, the commercials on the stream are different than the commercials over the air, and they sound terrible. It also cuts out the promos. It's bad. Streaming is stupid. Just use the radio. That works fine. Everything on the radio is perfect. You know what the greatest gift we get is? The greatest gift that you and I get, I mean, it's a spectacular gift, is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.